I was challenged by an expression that comes repeatedly in the Old Testament, and I thought I'd share with you this morning. See, this phrase, the Lord was with him, that comes many, many times in the scriptures. And so I want to take you quickly through many scriptures. And first of all, Genesis chapter 39, here it speaks about Joseph. See, Joseph, I'm not going to go into the full story. We all know that Joseph was a young brother, and he had a dream. He had wonderful dreams given to him by God, and he shared his dreams with his brothers, and they all hated him, and they were all jealous of him. And one day when his father told him to go and look for his brothers, then the brother said, oh, here comes the dreamer. And then they stripped him and put him into a pit, and later on they sold him. And then we find your young brother Joseph in Egypt. He was working as a slave in the house of Potiphar. But it says in Genesis chapter 39 verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. And it says Joseph became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master Egyptian. Verse 3 again. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. You know, there was something wonderful about Joseph. Even though he was hated by his brothers, even though he could not stay in his home. And just imagine, you young brothers and sisters also this morning, imagine you had to work in somebody's house as a slave. And probably for many years, Joseph worked as a slave in the house, doing all odd jobs, wiping the floor, washing the vessels, and washing the clothes, all odd jobs. But the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. And afterwards we know how the master gave him full control of the house, and then he was falsely accused, and he was put in prison. And verse 21 it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And you know, because God was with Joseph, the prison became a wonderful place for Joseph. And in a short time, the jailer gave him full responsibility to Joseph to take care of the jail. And again, says verse 23, the chief jailer did not suppose anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And I want to challenge all the young brothers and sisters. Yeah, I know you all have great ambitions. You want to come up in life, study, you want to study well and get a good job. That's all wonderful. Can it be written about you that the Lord is with this brother? The Lord is with his sister. And look at this attitude of this young brother Joseph. He had no complaints against God. He had no complaint against his brothers. He had no complaints against his boss. Oh, so many young people I see, they got complaints against God. And I'm sorry to say, many young people got complaints against their parents. And perhaps against your boss. And Joseph had no complaint against circumstances. He was faithful in temptations. And not only that, he was cheerful in the jail. We say he's an old covenant man. And in the jail he was cheerful, and he was asking the others, hey, you guys, why are you sad? And they said, oh, we had a dream. And we don't know the meaning of the dream. And Joseph, God gave him supernatural gifts, and they told their dreams, And Joseph gave the interpretation as given by God, and it turned out to be true. I'm not going to go into all the details. You can go home and read. Especially, I want to encourage all the young brothers and sisters, read Genesis chapter 39 onwards. And how the butler, even though Joseph interpreted his dream and king promoted him, and the baker, the king executed, the butler completely forgot about Joseph. For 2 years, he completely forgot. And Joseph could take it well. He says, God's allowed it all in his sovereign plan. And what I want to say, brothers and sisters, when the Lord is with you, nothing will affect you. Your circumstances, your boss, your family members, nobody can affect your attitude. You can have a good attitude. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to say that the Lord is with us, and we have a good attitude towards circumstances, towards God, towards people. And finally, after many years, the Pharaoh, he had a dream, and then the butler remembered, oh my, 2 years back, I had a dream and Joseph interpreted, and he told Pharaoh, and Pharaoh called him, and Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. In other words, Joseph exercised supernatural gift given by God in a humble way. And then we know how God promoted Joseph and became the leader number two in Egypt. And then we know how he saved the grains for them, and his parents and family members came to buy corn from Israel. And then later on, Joseph revealed himself to them. And again, look at Joseph. He didn't say, oh, you fellows, you hated me. No, he said, God, God sent me before you. You know that expression? That's a lovely expression. He will come back to that later. Joseph said, you did not send me, but God sent me before you. And that's the kind of attitude Joseph had. That's the faith he had in God. He didn't blame his brothers. He didn't blame their attitude. He said, God sent me before you to save you and to feed you. And even later on, when his father died, his brothers thought Joseph may take revenge against me. But Joseph said, no, I will feed you. He had a loving attitude. And that's the kind of a man God's looking for, brothers and sisters. And I want to say this morning, oh, make sure that the Lord is with you. Joseph was a humble man, God-fearing man, faithful man, wholehearted man. He was in touch with God. And God supported him mightily. So it doesn't matter what others think of you. It doesn't matter how the circumstances are. If the Lord is with you, you will triumph over all circumstances, and God's grace will be with you. And I hope that will become your longing and say, Lord, I want you to be with me every day of my life. Okay, I want to quickly move on to other. You look at Joseph's great-grandfather, Abraham, Genesis chapter 21. Verse 22. See here, Abimelech, he gives a testimony to Abraham. Now it came about at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham and saying, God is with you in all that you do. What a fantastic testimony Abraham received from others. Others could recognize God was with Abraham. And again in Genesis 26, verse 28. That's about Isaac. Again, Abimelech, he gives the testimony. We see plainly that the Lord has been with you. I hope we'll covet the testimony. Lord, I want others to know that you are with me. And, you know, even God supported Jacob, Joseph's father, grandfather, great grandfather. Imagine to live in such a way that you live in such a way that God can be with you and your sons and your children and their children. Or maybe all covered and say, Lord, do such a work in my life, Lord, that not only you should be with me, that others should recognize that you are with me. And same way we can see the life of Moses. The Lord told Moses in Exodus chapter 3 verse 12. God told Moses, certainly I'll be with you. And because the Lord was with Moses, God did fantastic work in Egypt and delivered the children of Israel from Egyptians. And you know, there's a wonderful expression here. Moses gave a little excuse saying, Lord, I can't speak. But the Lord told Moses, chapter 4, verse 12. Now then go, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you have to say. And it's repeated again. Verse 15, you have to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I'll teach you what you ought to do. Dear sisters, you can take that word for your own heart. Lord, be with my mouth. Every time I open my mouth, the others can get blessed. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if the Lord is with your mouth, you will not be the same person. And the Lord wants to put his words in our mouth. And the Lord wants to bless us. And I always loved that verse. And I say, Lord, I want your words to be in my mouth. Just think what will happen to our church if God's word is in all of our mouths. I want to tell you, that will be a wonderful church. And that's because Joseph valued God so much, his presence so much. He said in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. He said, the Lord said, my presence shall go with you and I'll give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. How do you know the Lord is with you? You know, by his presence. When the Lord's presence is there, there's peace and there's joy. I want to show you one more example. This is again for all the young brothers. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is a great book of victory. And you know, the Lord told Joshua after Moses died, you got to lead this people to the land of Canaan. And God told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. What a fantastic promise God gave Joshua. And because God was with Joshua, Joshua kept on overcoming all his enemies, one after another. You know, for example, in chapter 6, he conquered Jericho without fighting a battle. And then it says here, there's a wonderful verse again, Joshua chapter 6, verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. Because the Lord of Joshua, he could overcome all the enemies in the land of Jericho. And you know, only once Joshua, he was little careless, he didn't consult God, and therefore he tasted a little bit of defeat. Otherwise, throughout his life, Joshua never tasted defeat. He kept on moving from victory after victory. And I want to say, that is God's will for all of us. And I hope all of you young brothers and sisters will be excited by the life of Joshua. I'm never bored to read the book of Joshua. Every time it challenges me, you know. And the interesting thing about Joshua is, see, the Lord, people saw that the Lord was with Joshua, and many enemies ganged up together to fight against Joshua. See chapter 10. Oh, so many people gathered together to fight against Joshua. More than five kings. And verse 8, the Lord said to Joshua, don't fear them. And you know, Joshua came on them. And it says here, you know how the Lord helped Joshua that day? The Lord gave Joshua supernatural victory. You know how the Lord gave supernatural victory? See, in verse 11 it says, as they fled from before Israel while they were at the desert of Bethon, the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them. And there were more who died from the hailstones than those whom the sons of Israel killed with the sword. Isn't it wonderful, brothers and sisters, when the Lord supports you, that's what will happen. And you go home and read the story. Joshua told the sun to stop, and the sun stopped till he fought against all the enemies and killed them. And you know the story, how many kings went and hid themselves in a cave, and Joshua told all his army leaders afterwards, he took them out from the cave, put your feet on the necks of these enemies, and thus will the Lord do to your enemies. And that's the picture of life of victory the Lord has called us. And again, chapter 11, we see many, many enemies joined to fight against Joshua, but the Lord gave him victory. And that's how Joshua possessed the land of Canaan. There's a lovely verse in Psalm 41 verse 10. I hope you know this verse. 11, sorry. Psalm 41 verse 11, not 10. By this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. You know, when the Lord is pleased with you, you will get victory after victory in your life. And God will favor us by giving us grace. And that's how we know that God is happy with us. Yeah, I want to move on to 1 Samuel 16, 18. Here it speaks about David. Again, David was a young brother. But what a wonderful testimony David had as a young brother, 1 Samuel 16, 18. He says, "Here, behold, I've seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who was a skillful musician, mighty man of valor, warrior, one prudent in speech and a handsome man, and the Lord is with him." We say, oh, young people do a lot of foolish things. If the Lord is with you, you don't have to go around doing foolish things. And I hope all of you young brothers will have a great longing and say, "Lord, be with me. Save me from doing all stupid things and foolish things. And I want your grace, Lord, upon me." And then we know how, as a young boy, David conquered Goliath and later on the Philistines, because God supported him. And chapter 18, verse 12, he says here, "Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him." And again, verse 14, "David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him." And you know, you can later on read in 1 Samuel 30 and 2 Samuel 8 how David conquered so many of his enemies because the Lord was with him. So it's got nothing to do with the age. You can be a young brother. You can receive abundance of grace, conquer many lusts in your flesh, and come to a tremendous life in God. And one more verse in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. Here we read about Samuel. 1 Samuel 3, verse 19. "Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground." You know, Samuel was born in a time when there was tremendous backsliding in Israel. But Samuel was different. Samuel, when Samuel was there, the Philistines could not overpower Israel. And in a short time, Samuel became a prophet. And Samuel brought tremendous revival in Israel. And we read in Ezra chapter 7, verse 6, Ezra comes after 2 Chronicles. Ezra chapter 7, verse 6, 9 and 28. It says here, the 6th last verse, because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. 9. Because the good hand of his God was upon him. That's Ezra. And lastly, in the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8 and 18. The last verse, line. Because the good hand of my God was on me. Verse 18, I told them, now the hand of my God has been favorable to me. And that's the thing, brothers and sisters, because God's hand was upon Ezra and Nehemiah, they brought tremendous revival. Oh, I pray this morning that all of us will have a great longing in our heart. Lord, I want you to support me. Because Joseph was humble, David was humble, and Samuel was humble, Joshua was humble, God was with them and supported them. Oh, may God help us this morning for that to become a passion. And in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 1. The Lord is not only with the brothers, he's also with the sisters. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And the angel said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. All of you young sisters and even older ones, I hope it will be written about you that the Lord is with you. And you know, Mary was an exceptional sister. God chose her because she was exceptionally humble. And then one more verse in Acts chapter 18, verse 10. See, here we find Apostle Paul. The Lord telling Paul, verse 9, don't be afraid any longer. Go on speaking and don't be silent. I am with you. You know, the Lord was with Paul in a mighty way. And that's why Paul won so many souls to the Lord. And Paul was a tremendous blessing to many, many, many people. And I think 2 weeks back, you all heard on this verse, it says about Jesus, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit power, how he went about doing good and healing all the prince of the devil, for God was with him. And you may say, oh brother, they're all some outstanding men, God was with them. I'm such an ordinary man. How can the Lord be with me? Just see the New Testament in Matthew chapter 18. In the Old Testament we find one Samuel, one David, one Joshua, one Joseph. But now in the New Testament, Matthew 18, verse 19. Again I say to you, if two or three of you agree on earth, I think that the miracle shall be done for them, my Father in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. What a wonderful promise. We can say that's the church. You can say that's also the home, and then also the church. Where we have two people, husband and wife. And God can be in the home, and when there's more than two or three, you can say that's the church. God can be there in the church. And you know, in the New Testament, it should be written about a church, that God is in their midst. You see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 25, here it speaks about the gift of prophecy. When everyone exercises the gifts of prophecy, it says here, verse 24, but if all prophesy, now many times we don't read the scriptures correctly. This is the ideal church. Everyone is prophesying. Verse 25. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so you'll fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. Brothers and sisters, if you live before God, if you walk in humility, if you bring the presence of God to the meeting, that's how powerful the church can be. And that's why your condition affects the church. I want to tell you that. If the majority of the people are backslidden, lazy, living a passive, average kind of a Christian life, the church will be like that. But you know, if you have wholehearted brothers and sisters coming with the presence of God, walking before God, God bearing witness to them, God supporting them, and I believe our meeting would be so wonderful. Unfortunately, many choose to live a low level of life. They're just happy to just come to the meeting and listen and go. I want to say, that's not God's perfect will. God's perfect will is that we bring the presence of God to the meeting. And there should be such a spirit of prophecy in our midst. And others can see God is in our midst. There should be such a rich spirit of prophecy. I want to challenge all the brothers and sisters, especially young brothers and sisters. We not to speak the word of God in a boring, dry, stale kind of way. We should say, Lord, give me a spirit of prophecy. Let your word come forth, Lord, a prophetic word. And even if you don't get there, at least start praying. I want to tell you, did you pray for the meeting today? Or you came just like that? It's a good habit. I know of brothers who pray regularly. We must pray, Lord, we want a powerful manifestation of your presence. We want a powerful prophetic word. And all those who come must experience your presence. They must be convicted of their sins. They must get light. And it says here, they will worship God. They will not say, what a great speaker you are. They will say, God is an amazing. Brothers and sisters, let's wake up this morning and say, Lord, work in me. Make me, Lord, a person about whom it can be written, the Lord is with him or with her. And I want to say, God has got no partiality. In the New Testament, God is not partial to men. In God's eyes, both men and women are equal. You can bring the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, oh, may we pray, Lord, I want your presence every day in my life, Lord. I want your presence in my home. I want your presence in the office. I want my boss to know that your presence in my life. Brothers and sisters, what a difference we can make in the neighborhood. Your sisters, as you interact with your relatives, friends, and neighbors, I hope they'll all know that God is with you. And when you come to the church, just imagine that all of us can make such a difference to the church. So that we are not dependent on one speaker. You know, if all of us are in touch with God, Joseph was in touch with God, David was in touch with God, Samuel was in touch with God, Joshua was in touch with God, and that's God's will for all of us. Live in such a way that we have a direct, independent, individual connection with the Lord. I have said this many times to the couples. You know, when the husbands and wives have an individual, independent connection with the Lord, they'll also be drawn together. Shall I say it once again? When the husbands and wives have a strong, individual, independent connection with the Lord, they'll also be drawn together. Then I must say, you're a wonderful husband. You're a wonderful wife. And the Lord needs such homes in the church. And even if you have not prayed that till now, pray for the meeting every time. Say, Lord, give us a spirit of prophecy. Give us a prophetic word. Come with expectation. And I believe then, every time we come together, things will be different. The Holy Spirit will work amongst us. The Word of God will be quickened to us. We'll get light. We'll get revelation. And every time we'll be challenged and strengthened and comforted. Unfortunately, many God's people backslide. And they're just waiting for one or two brothers to share the word. And I want to say that is not God's will. All of us can have a word from the Lord. Just for 1 minute, 2 minutes. Blessing each other, challenging each other. That's the church. There's a powerful spirit of prophecy where we get edified, encouraged, strengthened and comforted. Oh, may God make us make our personal life like that, make our homes like that, make our church like that. And I want to say in closing, brothers and sisters, you got a part. You got to fulfill your part. Don't just be a lazy, passive, idle brother who's just drifting along. Like the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Don't just come to the meeting. Somehow, bring the presence of God. Bring a spirit of praise to the meeting. Bring a pure spirit to the meeting. Like in the last conference, Brother Zach said, even if you don't open your mouth, you can bless the church. You remember that? How many of you remember? Have you forgotten? Yeah, even if you don't open your mouth, you can bless the church. Let's begin there. And let's also open our mouth. And oh, may the Lord make our church such a wonderful church. Amen? Amen. Amen.
We heard of many godly people that God was with them. And we all have a longing in our hearts that God should be with us too. But how does that happen? It doesn't happen just automatically. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. To whom did he say that? Not to everybody. He said to the disciples who had given up everything and whose hearts were completely his. You turn with me to a verse in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles verse, chapter 16 and verse 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You see, this is a secret to have God on our side. When my heart is completely his, he says, okay, I am completely for you. If my heart, I give 50% to the Lord, then it is 50-50. I can't expect God to work in my life or be with me all the time. Like he said to the disciples in Matthew 28 before he left the earth, lo, I am with you always. He would have said, lo, I am with you 50% of the time. We need to make sure that God is on our side. That happens only when we surrender ourselves totally. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. If we do that, then you can count upon God's presence with you always, even to the end of the ages, it says. It says in Romans 8:31 that, if God be for us, who can be against us? Make sure that God is with you. Make sure that you meet the requirements, and then God will meet his requirement. I mean, on his side, what he has to do, he will do. And you will always walk in victory, and you can always have the presence of God living with you. You know, we have been given so much of resources. In these days, we have the Bible, we have the law, we have the prophets, we have the Psalms, we have the life of the disciples, we have the New Testament, we have the life of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, we have books, we have tapes, we have CDs, we have DVDs, we have internet, we can listen to so many godly people. All these resources we have, but still we should have shot up and overtaken some of these Old Testament saints. I was particularly thinking about a few saints in the Old Covenant like Enoch and Noah, Job, Abraham and Joseph. You know, these five people lived even before the law was given. The law was given when Moses was born and when God called him for the ministry when he was 80. Till then, all these people lived without the law. How did they live such kind of godly life? You see, They listened, they went by their conscience. There is a verse in Romans 2. Romans 2:14 it says about those who lived before the law was given. It says, for when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or defending them. You see, our conscience acts like a judge. It's a good judge, but that is not the best. Our conscience can be, it can be misled, it can be hardened. But to begin with, it is good to go by our conscience, what our conscience tells us. In the Old Covenant, these people lived by their conscience. They listened to their conscience. And look at Job. Turn with me to Job, the book before the Psalms. Job chapter 1. Job was a real character. He was a real person who lived. Some of the seminaries deny that. They say that it was fictitious. It was Job really didn't live. It is, you know, something made up like. But it is not true. Job was a man. God calls him by name. He says his name was Job, and also the place where he lived. It's clear in verse 1. A man who was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning from evil. The same thing is repeated here in verse 8. God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him on earth. A blameless and upright, fearing God, turning away from evil. How did he learn all these things? He went by his conscience. And he says later on that I treasure the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, he says. He was listening to God. Probably he had heard, you know, the patriarchs, Adam, Enoch, Noah, how they lived. Probably he would have spoken to them because he lived almost during that time. He must have spoken to them and asked, how was it your walk with God? And, you know, how was it like walking with the Lord? You know, like as it were hand in hand. They must have told him. Adam must have told Enoch. Enoch must have told later on Methuselah and so on, his descendants. And they learned how to walk with God even without the law. And they listened to the law and they were faithful to the light that they had been given. And he also said in Job 31 verse 1, I think, he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I shall not look at a woman to lust. Now, how did he get that? That Jesus said in the new covenant on Sermon on the Mount, that if anyone lusts after a woman, he has already committed adultery in his heart. But how did Job get this verse? He was listening to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, who was already living in the world that time. And also he was connected with the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. And the Spirit led him to this understanding and knowledge that to lust after a woman is equal to committing adultery physically. We came to know about that only on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said that It is written in the Old Covenant that you shall not commit adultery, but I say unto you that if anyone looks at a woman to lust in his heart, he has already committed adultery. This Old Testament man got that revelation even before the Bible was written. How did they walk? They walked by faith. They didn't see God. They walked by faith. They had heard at the end of Job, in the last chapter, he says, Lord, I have heard of you all these years, but now my eyes see you. He says, he may not have seen physically with his physical eyes, but in his spirit he saw. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. When you're pure in your heart, you shall see God. And Job was pure in his heart. He kept his heart pure. He saw God. And there is another man called Joseph. We heard about him. He was also a man. He was one of the two young men that I can think of in scripture who didn't commit, you know, stupid things like the young people, like many young people do. Joseph and Daniel. We don't read any negative things about them doing any foolish things. They were upright, probably in their late teens. Joseph must have been 17 or something when he was taken as a slave to Egypt. And Daniel also, perhaps he must have been about 17 or 18 when he was taken as a slave to Babylon. And they lived such an excellent life that, you know, God was with them from their teenage years. Think about that. Young brothers and sisters, you don't have to do foolish things that many of us have done in the past when we didn't know. You were privileged to sit here and listen to God's word and know these things, that you can also walk with God blamelessly like Daniel and like Joseph, without doing any foolish things, listening to the Spirit within you, listening to the teaching in the church, listening to the elder brothers, the more mature ones. No, he said, how can I do this evil thing? Where was it written? There was no written law that thou shalt not commit adultery. But how did he know that it was evil? How can I do this great evil before God, he says, and he ran away. See, many young people like to have someone of the opposite sex for their friend. It's very unwise and it's very unscriptural. When time comes, God will bring that person across and then you can know them and then get married. But to go on one after another having, you know, knowing this person and dumping them and going for another one and dumping them, this is utter stupidity. God knows when he created you, he also knows that you needed somebody. He has a life partner and he's created that person. Just wait for it. Adam didn't run around in the Garden of Eden looking for this one and that one. Where is it? And God didn't even create half a dozen red-headed brunettes and blondes and things like that. He created only one and said, this is it. And when Adam saw it, he said, this is it. That's right. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. You see, have faith in God. In his own time, he will bring all these things to pass. Joseph, he stood and he became an outstanding man, just like Daniel. Daniel became almost the second ruler in Babylon, and Joseph also equally the prime minister, almost the second, next only to Pharaoh. See, how did God honor these young people? Because they honored God, they feared him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says. And how did they become wise and how did they get all this wisdom? By fearing the Lord. You see, nobody can mess with your life. Only you can do that. They tried to do so much harm to Joseph. They put him in a pit. They wanted to kill him. And then finally they... You see how God had arranged things, circumstances so accurately and precisely. When they took him out of the pit, wanted to kill him, they saw some Arabs coming there. And they sold him to them. And they took him to Egypt. And that is where exactly God wanted him. Took them to Potiphar. He was tested there. And he was innocent. He was put in jail. There also God had arranged, gave favor in the sight of the jailer. And even though he was in jail, he was not depressed or discouraged or had a long face. He was given responsibility in prison. And when he saw these two guys downhearted and sad, he went and asked them, "What's the matter with you? Why your face is fallen?" See, one person is already in prison, wrongly accused, and he goes and asks another person who is rightly accused and asks him, "What is the problem with you?" He has enough of problem of his own, but he is interested in going and helping others. My brothers and sisters, if you are having that spirit of going about helping others, God will help you. It says in Proverbs 11:25, "He who waters others will be watered himself." If you take care of the needs of others, your needs will be met. When Job prayed for his friends, God restored his fortunes. He blessed him twice, double. He gave him everything double. Learn to, value God and His Word. And have that desire to know the Lord and to know His Word. And treasure His Word in your heart. Like the psalmist says, "I have treasured your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you." What keeps you from sinning against God? It's God's Word. That's what Joseph said. "How can I do this?" Because God's Word was dwelling in his heart. Because he knew the mind of the Spirit. He knew the mind of God, and he knew the word of God which was working in him, even though it was not given literally like it is in our hands. Now let's follow these godly examples. Even though you are in a place where there is nobody to fellowship with, nobody to encourage you, you can take encouragement from God's word. Says about David that when he was in great distress, it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. There was nobody to encourage him. Everybody wanted to kill him that time because of the decision that David had taken. The Philistines came and plundered his camp and took away the wives and children and all the booty. Then finally, when they came back, they saw everything was gone. And they wanted to kill David. And then David also left. Every one of them left until they had no strength to weep. They wept. And then it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord if you're downhearted today. There's God's word. There are people around you, more mature brothers and sisters. Meet with them. You don't have to go back from here downhearted, discouraged, without help, without hope. God has given all the resources. Make the best use of it and glorify Him. Amen.
We heard a very powerful thing that God is with many godly men. Young people, as we sit here, how do we know that God is with us? No, that Joseph is a great example, great encouragement, great challenge for me to follow when we turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. We see God was with Joseph. One sign that God was with Joseph is we see in verse 2, Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. "Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master Egyptian." We see he became a successful man. God blessed whatever he touched. It's God's will that we should be successful. And we should be overcomers in every area, every problem we face. It's not God's will that we should live a defeated life in a personal life or a work life or in a company. It's not God's will that we should always be in gloomy or defeated. God's will is that we should be overcomers, we should be successful in every area. Not prosperous. In work life, we can be successful. In verse 3, his master saw that Lord was with him, and Lord caused all that it did to prosper in the hand. You know, it's a litmus test for me whenever something is going wrong in my work life, something is not coming through, or I'm constantly defeated, or whatever I start, it's not giving a good result. Lord, are you with me? What's going wrong in me? Where am I committing sin against you? Show me, Lord. That's my cry. My brothers and sisters, if something is wrong in our work life, maybe God is not with us. We can go to Him. Lord, something is going wrong in my life. Show me where I'm missing you. I want you to be with me, Lord. You know, Joseph is a great example. Whenever I read Joseph, always I connect with him to my work life. You know, he lived a faithful life in his workplace, in Potiphar's house. And verse 4, Joseph found favor in his sight, and he became his personal servant. He made him oversee over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. God was with him. That's why Joseph, whatever he touched, God blessed it. And verse 23, Genesis chapter 39, verse 23. After he had been put in the jail, chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph. What a testimony, my young people. The jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because Lord was with him. Whatever he did, he made to prosper. Can it be said about ourselves, my brothers and sisters, that man is a faithful man, that lady is a faithful lady, that young boy is a faithful boy, that young girl is faithful. Whatever we give to him, he'll do faithfully. He will not be distracted with things around him. He will not be distracted with smartphones or WhatsApp. If you give a work to him, he will complete it because God is with him. Can it be said about us, my brothers and sisters? Let's have this longing, a craving. Lord, you be with me, Lord Jesus. And let me glorify your name in everything I do, especially in my work life, Lord. God is looking at our secret life, you know, where church members cannot see, our family members cannot see, the people who never come to church or in our works part. Let's be faithful in our work life so that God can be with us. Joseph is a great example. He was faithful in his work life and God was with him. And people should say that he's a faithful man. If I give task to him, I can forget and have a peaceful sleep. And one more example. Genesis chapter 26, Isaac. Verse 19 onwards, when Isaac's servant, Genesis chapter 26, verse 19, when Isaac's servant dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water. Verse 20, herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen and saying, Isaac, the water is ours. We see in the story that, in the life that, you know, they dug many wells and people came and occupied and they thought that it's ours. Verse 21, they dug another well. They quarreled over it too, and it named it Sinar. You know, we see constantly digging a well and people coming and fighting and trying to grab that from him. That also happens in our works life, my brothers and sisters. You know, we work hard, suddenly somebody else comes and take the honor or glory, or the manager comes and says, yeah, I did it. And do we have a complaint in our heart? I'm not getting a proper promotion, I'm not getting a proper recognition, I'm not getting my hike in the salary. Many times we see that kind of thing drains our enthusiasm to work. My brothers and sisters, we are not working for this world. Even when we work in the office, we are working unto the Lord. He is our boss. He is our master. We have to be faithful whether we get honor, whether we get hike or not. We have to be faithful. So Isaac, even though he dug many wells, many people occupied, he did not lose that enthusiasm. Here's the interesting part. Verse 22, he moved away from there and dug another well. They did not quarrel over it, and he named it Rehoboth. And verse 24, Lord appeared to him the same night and said to him, I am God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, I am with you. Many times God may test us in our work spots. Are we faithful when we don't get a proper promotion? Are we faithful when people don't watch us? Are we faithful when things are going wrong? That's one mark, one litmus test we can see whether God is with us or not. It's not that we have to become millionaires. That's not God's will. Maybe for some of us. But God, people can testify God is with them. We can glorify God's name in our life. And one more situation. If you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We heard about him, verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. The Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. Samuel grew and Lord was with him. We see the Samuel's life that he grew before the Lord and grew before the people. You have to be faithful before the Lord and we have to be faithful before the people. And this is the statement I want to emphasize. Samuel grew and Lord was with him. Let none of his words fail. You know, in the Canaan wedding, when the wine ran out, Mary said to servants, go, do whatever Jesus says, do it. Mary knew Jesus was a faithful man and he knew God was with him. Whatever he says, it will not fail. That was, let none of his words fail. People can say, go to him. Whatever the solution gives, that will be the best. Or go, give the task to him, he will complete it. Let that be our testimony, by brothers and sisters. Young people, let's have this craving. Lord, I want to be faithful in every area of my life. Whether my parents see, my young people, my elders see or not. I want to be faithful, especially in my work spot. So that you can be with me, Lord. I want to glorify your name. That's my longing to challenge young people to be faithful in work spot. So that we can glorify God's name. Amen.
I heard of a factory where some brothers from a church in that locality were working, and the factory people used to go to the church and say, do you have some more people in your church where we can employ? They saw the quality of those men who did good work, and they came to the church and asked for people. What a testimony, brothers and sisters. Oh, don't take it in the wrong way this morning. If the Lord is with us, wherever we go, we'll be the light of the world, we'll be the salt of the earth, we'll go around blessing. And if it's not like that, ask yourself this morning, Lord, why, Lord, my life is not like that? Why my life is not like Joseph's, like David, like Samuel? And Lord, what's wrong with me? And set it right and say, Lord, bless me and make me a blessing to many people in my home, in the place of work, in the neighborhood and in the church. And let's have hope this morning and say, Lord, I want to trust you. I want you to help me, Lord. Let's close our eyes this morning, respond to God's word. All the young people, God can make you a wonderful brother and sister. Don't get discouraged this morning. Say, I'm not like Joseph, I'm not like David. Say, Lord, I trust you. You can change my life. Lord, I want your grace on my life. He says about Jesus, the grace of God is upon him. Covet that this morning, brothers and sisters. Lord, from today, even if you have failed till today, I want to say there's hope for you. From today, change my life, Lord. From today, you bless me and all your sisters. Say, Lord, make me a blessing. Ask the Lord, brothers and sisters, don't just go in a passive way. Say, Lord, right now, touch my life, Lord. Change my life. Lord, as long as I'm alive on this earth, let people know that I am your representative. I'm here to be a witness for you. And Lord, we thank you for your word this morning and we pray, Lord, that you will challenge every one of us, especially all the young brothers and sisters, Lord. Make them a great blessing, Lord. They are a future generation, and I pray that you will put much faith and encouragement in their hearts and make them a great blessing. And even the older ones, Lord, Thank you, need the young and the old, and I pray that you will bless all the wives and mothers and grandmothers and even the young sisters, everyone included here, Lord. Bless us and make us a blessing that we can bring joy to many on this earth, Lord. And help us to be a church that's powerful, that can count for you, Lord. Oh, make us a strong church, Lord. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.